Welcome to the Influential Assistant Podcast, where we spend around 15 minutes together discussing ways to build influence, not only with your executive, but with your entire team. I'm your host, Anna Beam. Welcome to episode 3 of The Influential Assistant. I wanted to apologize for not having an episode last week. It was the end of the quarter for us, and with the end of the quarter comes our quarterly staff retreat where we go offsite for a day and talk about all the things that we accomplished in the last quarter and plan for the upcoming one. So I had my hands full with planning food and setting up the location and making sure that everyone was going to be as safe as possible. Our company is based in Greenville, South Carolina, which is considered one of our nation's top hotspots for coronavirus right now. So things are a little bit scary for our team. Luckily, we only have 10 staffers, so we spaced everyone out really far and everyone got their own 6-foot table and masks were required if you weren't actively eating and drinking and everything was single package. So as far as we know, no one's gotten sick, and that was about a week ago. So that was a win. But yeah, I was a little bit busy with that, so I missed talking to you guys last week. But this week, I was thinking that we might dive into a question that I got last week from an assistant that I met on Instagram. And she was asking, how do you handle people who call and want to talk to your boss? And this brought to mind to me something that Nick Ginsberg recently talked about on LinkedIn, and I'll put his post in the show notes. But he posted about the difference between being a gateway and being a gatekeeper, and I had never heard it put that way. I just thought that that was so good. No one wants to be a gatekeeper where you're just like the bouncer at a club, right? I'm definitely not big and burly enough for that. But being a gateway means being an entrance point or guiding people the way that they should go. And I just really loved that perspective from Nick. I had never really heard it put that way before. But a gateway is just so much more pleasant. So if you'll indulge me, I wanted to just talk a little bit about what that means to me and some experiences that I've had in my organization. And maybe that'll help you, because that's what we do here, right? It's just to chat and to laugh and hopefully feel encouraged. So let's dive in. Being a gateway is such a refreshing way to put what we do, right? Because it means it gives it kind of a positive connotation. You're not always saying no. In a small team, it doesn't make sense that there be all this red tape to get to someone who's literally like right down the hall. I mean, in a worst case scenario, someone could just get up and go ask him something. So in a small organization, being a gateway well gets a little complicated because those levels of hierarchy aren't felt or sometimes aren't as concrete as they are in maybe a larger organization where they're more expected to be there. So when I came onto this team in a new role, they had never really had this before. And to them, it felt like a barrier. So all of a sudden here, you have this person that they have to go through to make sure that to-do items are logged or that meetings are getting scheduled or, you know, whatever they may need. And I felt like it just caused some friction. And so if you take some time and go back and listen to our last episode where we talked about casting vision to your team, this is one situation where having that good relational equity with your team is going to be really important. This also requires a lot of discipline on my executive's part to establish those rhythms with the people around them. So my particular executive is involved in multiple organizations. He's the CEO of Ingenious, which is the company I work for. And then he's also the executive director for a nonprofit in upstate South Carolina called Rebuild Upstate that does home repair and accessibility construction for low-income people in our community who need help. But given that he's got two different organizations, that was two teams of people that I had to cast vision to because I helped him with both. So I have to be really careful to have a good posture of approachability and do the work to create that relational equity with the other people on both teams. I need to learn their language and see who's frustrated. And over time, people learn that if they really need something to get moving, that they should come to me. So recognizing that there might be multiple teams at play, recognizing that there are seasons where rhythms might change a little bit, but overall, just really making sure that you're creating those relationships and casting vision well to the team so that they know that if they need something, their best bet is to come to you. So back to that last question that I got last week, talking about being a gateway for people outside the organization. And I think that's a whole different ballgame, right? Because you are coming into that organization blind when the phone rings. And so step one is to go ahead and just have a standard greeting ready. So in my case, my boss's direct line is his direct line for both organizations. And so my standard greeting is typically, "Hi, thank you for calling Chris. This is his assistant, Anna. How can I help you?" And you know, it could be anyone calling from the Grubhub delivery guy to a major donor for the nonprofit. So you really have to be on your toes. And the question that I got last week was specifically what to do when someone's getting a little snarky and you can tell that it's just spam. How do you keep that poise and professionalism while also being firm and maintaining some boundaries? So for example, if someone calls, and I'm sure that all you guys get this all the time, right? If someone calls and they're like, "Hey, I'm calling for Chris. He's expecting a call from me and we're just following up on that email I sent." And so I'm thinking in my brain, I see Chris's email. I don't see an email from this person. He's never popped up on my radar before. I've been working here for 6 years. I don't recognize this organization he's calling from. And so immediately I can tell that this is spam, that likely this is definitely not someone who needs to talk to my boss right away. And so what I typically say is, "Okay, I would be happy to help establish that next step for you if you can tell me a little bit about what you're wanting to discuss." And you know, sometimes they dig their heels in and they're like, "No, I need to speak directly to him." And I'm like, "Listen, I understand. I'm his executive assistant and he's granted me the authority to take information as a preliminary start to a call. So I'm going to need you to give me that information so that I can set up a good time." And if they continue to be pushy, then I'll just be honest and say, "Listen, I'm not going to be able to connect you with Chris right now. Your best bet is for me to set up a time, but the only way I can do that is if you're willing to tell me what's going on so that I can prioritize it on his calendar." Now, at this point, they're either going to give you the information that you're looking for and at least just let you know, "Hey, I'm a financial advisor. I want to have a meeting." It's like, "Okay, well, I will let him know that you called and we'll see if he's interested in a meeting." But if they continue to be really rude, then at that point, I'm going to say, "Listen, you're not giving me anything to work with here. I would love to help you as much as I can, but you're just not giving me any information to work off of. So until you're willing to help me place you on the calendar correctly, I can't help you." So it's really just that kind of that spectrum, right, of how pushy they're going to be. Because here's the reality. I've been working with Chris for 6 years. I know who the important people are. I know the organizations that he's got grants out to or the meetings that he's hoping to schedule. And I see his email and all of that information helps me be a gateway for him well, because it's my job to know what the priorities are for him. So my advice would be sit down with your executive and start asking who gets immediate entry, both personally and professionally. Familiarize yourself with where his wife might call from or his kids' schools. Professionally, who should get immediate access and what kind of persona do you want to portray to people who call? So I actually serve two executives and they're both going to want to put off different personas in how they speak professionally. So I have to keep that in mind when I'm representing one or the other. So take the time to prepare for a meeting where you can sit down with your executive and establish this list of who gets immediate access, and just make sure that you're being thorough. Think through who are the different types of people that he's interfacing with. So for my example, you know, "Hey, let's talk about the board members at the nonprofit. Does the board chair always get through immediately?" You know, especially from a nonprofit angle, if we've got nonprofit executive assistants here, there's so much to consider because honestly, he gets way more calls on his nonprofit side of things than he does for Ingenious, the digital marketing agency. So this information will be super helpful to you because it'll help you start to predict, board members immediately get through. Okay, great. Well, this email seemed unrelated, but it was sent by a board member and it's about a picnic that she's sponsoring. So maybe he would want to go to help build that relationship. So just knowing that information, you're not only deciding what is important phone call wise, but you're also getting information that will help you predict how well to serve them in the future as you continue to be this filter for information, because that's really what a gateway is, right? You're just filtering. You're just trying to make sure that information gets through at the right time. So one last thought is be honest with your executive as to how people treat you, especially on the phone. I know for my executive, if there is someone who is wanting to solicit business or get through to the quote owner of the business and they treat me or the other members of our staff poorly, well, then they're definitely not going to get our business. I'm not saying you have to tattle on anyone, but I would just touch base with your executive and let them know, by the way, these organizations or these contacts are consistently disrespectful when they correspond with me, but they're very nice directly to you. And I just wanted you to see the whole picture before you made a decision, especially if you're able to call back to your own organization's core values and call those up and say, hey, we really value being respectful in our organization. Okay, well, they were not respectful to me, or we really honor integrity to all, and he was super disrespectful. So my executive very much wants to know if the people in his circles are treating me poorly as his assistant, because it helps him know either how to call them up into a better self by saying, hey, this is how you're being portrayed in the community. But it also helps him decide who we're going to do business with. And there's been times before when we chose to not do business with a vendor or not do business with a client because of how he treated, our staff or me. So I think that that's really important to just keep that line of information open so that your executive knows what your side of things looks like when you're corresponding on his behalf. So, to recap, number one, thanks to Nick Ginsberg, we can think of ourselves as a gateway and help train our teams that going through us is the best way to get what they want quickly. Not because we're fancy important, but because we want to aid them on their journey. Number two, have an access meeting with your executive to discuss who gets immediate access, what kind of persona they want you to portray on their behalf, and what authority you have to collect information and/or dismiss solicitations. And number three, be honest with your executive on how you're treated, especially if you're able to use your company's guiding principles as reference. If they're treating you poorly, then perhaps you don't want to work with that client and/or vendor. So, thanks for joining in for this week's episode. I know here in the States, we're about to celebrate a holiday, so I hope everyone has a safe weekend and stays healthy, and I will see you next week. Thanks again for listening to the Influential Assistant Podcast. Please follow us on Instagram at The Influential Assistant and leave us a review on your favorite listening platform. Thanks.